Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the Wisconsin DMA and the International Society for Strategic Marketing. Okay, this was an interesting, this was interesting. This is a service, it's called Marketing Ideas for Printers. You see that up here? Marketing Ideas for Printers. And they do, it's not clear if it's monthly or quarterly, they have their March edition, March issue of the of National Direct Mail. And I've heard of Who's Mailing What, which tracks mailers, and you can see the mailing pieces, and it's great if you want to see what your competitor's doing, and it still does exist. It's been bought and sold a few times. Denny Hatch actually created it. Denny's an old friend. But this seems to be more like Who's Printing What. And if any of you out there are using it, I would love to hear about it, because this was new to me. I was not very excited about the format here, because they basically show you in this article the different print pieces. At the bottom, there's a download, you know, download the pieces so that you can see a PDF of all of them, which is nice. But then their comments are related to the printers or the title, okay? And it's really hard to put those together. So I didn't really like the blog, but I do like the idea. So again, I hope you can reformat in a more usable way for your subscribers, right? Okay, now we're getting to some good stuff. I skipped this yesterday, but I really wanted to talk about it. Okay, this is from MDR, and MDR, MDREducation.com. I use these lists. Remember I talked about the company the other day that wanted to sell laminators? You know, you take your kid's crayon, or the kid does a crayon drawing in school, and you think, and, you know, everybody does them. But the teacher then throws them through a laminator so that they'll last forever. You know, you probably, your kids got them, or if you don't have kids, you probably got them, because they've been around a while. Anyway, we use the MDR list quite a bit for that, for launching the catalog, for the General Binding. It's right behind me here. GBC, General Binding Corporation. And they made lots and lots of binders, and I think they're still around. I have a nice letter from them about how we got them off the ground in mail. But anyway, MDR is a great source for education lists, so I'll say that. But here's their thoughts on direct mail. First of all, we're stuck on Zoom, and we're sick of it, so let's think about mail. What's the first thing to do? Get a good list. Think about who the key decision maker is, and if you're in education, then MDR might be the place to look. There's a PDF of the files. I don't think they're all, you know, the first thing you should know about lists is that there's three kind of basic kinds of lists. There's lists of people who buy stuff. So Land's End will, I think they're only available on trade. Each list owner controls their list, can do what they want. That's part of the fun of direct mail. It's a good thing. I really think it is a good thing, okay, that the list owner can decide if you're a competitor, or if they even think you're a competitor, they don't have to rent to you. Right? Okay. But there are list owners, so let's say Talbot's or Chadwick's of Boston or Boston Proper or any of these catalog companies, Humacher Schlemmer, often will rent their list to non-competitive offers, whatever that means. Okay. It's interesting because we had a seed catalog, a group of seed catalogs and plant catalogs, garden catalogs, lately, and so I buy from my clients to see what they're up to, and I've gotten a lot of seed catalog in the mail, and I think that's because some companies aren't as, I've got you on LinkedIn, thanks Ed, yeah, I see myself now, for some reason Restream logged me out, and it was not working, but like I said, if you want to make a fool of yourself, do live streams. You just got to be willing to do that. Okay, so the list, you can buy, you can rent, it's not buy, you can rent lists of mail order buyers or maybe e-commerce too. Or you can get lists of special interests like publications. And it used to be that publications were only mailed, and so they had relatively current addresses. There's two kinds of those. There's controlled circulation. And nowadays most of that's done online, but I used to get Target Marketing. I registered on their site. They used to mail it to me, then they quit mailing, then they went and sold themselves to Adweek, so they're gone. But that would be considered like a controlled circulation. You tell them a little about yourself, why you're interested in their magazine or their publication, now we'll call it, and you'd be on their list. Now, oftentimes today, those don't have mailing addresses because they're just asking for your email. I just yesterday, and you won't be able to see this, but I printed out the data card. Brenda, if you're on here, say hello. I had a really great talk with Brenda from the name of her company is really interesting. It's called Andrews Wharton, and it's a list brokerage, and they specialize in a lot of different kinds of lists. But they have a LinkedIn list, so if you've ever been frustrated, I've been really frustrated because I have 10 or 11,000 LinkedIn first-level connections, and I can't mail them because LinkedIn doesn't even ask for an address, a business address, right? They don't even ask for it. What I would love to do is take my list, LinkedIn list, and I have tried to send it out to match it, but, you know, they don't even let you have the email address now, so matching it is very, very difficult. With this, I might be able to do it. So I'm very, very excited about it. And their list is like 74 million postal addresses for LinkedIn users. Now, that's nothing in comparison to all the LinkedIn users, I think. I don't know what percentage that is. It's a little expensive, $160 a thousand. That's like 16 cents a name. But, you know, what's your alternative, right, these days? This could be really a gold mine for some of you out there. If you already kind of have LinkedIn working and you want to test some alternatives, this LinkedIn list, I'm very, very excited about this. Thanks, Brenda. I hope you're on here because we're talking about you like crazy. But anyway, so list is important, right? It's way deeper than you might think, right? And customer segmentation is, you know, we do it with machine learning and AI. We're not going to talk about that today. We're just trying to get an outside list. Format. It's interesting that MDR would make format the second. That's usually not the second. Usually offer is the second. We'll go on to that. Personalize, very dangerous. In B2B, oftentimes a title slug will get you where you need to go better than a person's name. Why? Well, I was, again, one of the co-founders of the Sales Guides Imprinted Merchandise Catalog. And what we found out was we actually had outbound telemarketing too. And so after a customer had bought from us, maybe a year went by, we would call them up and say, you know, are you thinking of ordering again? Is there anything we can do for you? Just to be nice, back in the days when people answered their phone. And what we found out was that oftentimes the person that had bought from us bought for a special purpose. They bought for going to a convention. They bought for a company picnic or a gala or something, and they, you know, took on that role as a temporary assignment. So last year they were in charge of the company picnic. This year they're not in charge. You send that catalog to them, and it's a big company. It will go to them, and it will go right in the trash. But if you call, you can update it. But if you don't call, you could just put on person in charge of the company picnic. It would do better. I just want to get you in the logic of this. It will do better, oftentimes, to get the title right than it will to get the person wrong. So personalization is a very dangerous topic that people don't get at all. Okay, MDR, thank you for that. Include a call to action, absolutely. Like I said, Oakley showed me their mailing piece when they were testing mail. The worst thing you can do is sell mail. Let's try mail. Let's just try some. Let's get a list. You can see, this is not the sort of thing you just, you know, can you imagine somebody saying, well, let's just try a TV ad? you know, without knowing how to produce a TV ad, without knowing how to produce video, having never done it, oh, let's just all sit around and do a TV ad. How bad can we be? Well, the answer is a total waste of money. You know, nobody would do that. Let's buy a couple of $1 million Super Bowl ad and we'll just produce it ourselves. Would that be insane? Absolutely. And yet, people think they can do that with mail. And, you know, I can tell you, I have been beaten in head-to-head tests by a hand-done, ridiculously ugly mailing piece. But only once. And I know why it happened, and I take that into consideration now. So this is, we're not inundated, but there's starting to be a regular flow of how-tos on mail. And I hope what you're learning from this show is most of them have a lot that's wrong. That's the scary part. Now, here's a really nice one. I really, really like this one. It's from Encompass Elements blog. I'm not exactly sure what the source of this is. Encompass Elements blog. What is that? And .wordpress.com. So it's not a big deal. I mean, it's somebody just putting this together. I don't see any author listed. I never did, you know. So I don't know what Encompass Media is, and I don't know what this blog is. But it's a nicely done basics of mail. And so we're gonna wrap up with this one. Okay? Important steps for creating a direct mail campaign. And, you know, if you're a direct mail agency or a printer and you disagree with me, be sure to comment. You know, we all need to work together on this, because not only do we have to promote mail, but we have to protect our clients from mail done wrong. Okay, so why direct mail? Direct mail is personable, cost-effective, and persuasive. Those aren't the things I would mention, but hey. They start with a list. Make sure the purchase history is current. What that means is make sure that you're mailing your customers first. A lot of mailers have made the mistake of only mailing their customers. It just keeps shrinking. But, yeah, you mail your customers. Now, that said, the purchase history is never current. Not right up to the minute. There's always a lag in there. Okay, so you do your best, you know, and the most recent people do better than the older people. Okay, if you don't know if this data is good, then find a reliable list provider. Well, the list provider has the same problem. He's selling you lists of people that bought through the mail, but, you know, the updates are usually done quarterly. You have a real challenge there, because if you wanted like fourth quarter buyers, or if you wanted hotline and you're mailing in the first quarter, you'll be mailing fourth quarter. So if you had a phishing offer, this happened, this we discovered in Cabela's. If you're mailing a phishing offer and you say, well, Cabela's, send us your most recent names, they're sending you the hunters. You got to watch out for that. If you're selling a gift offer if you're selling a Christmas gift offer, you don't necessarily want the third quarter buyers or summer buyers. You want last year's fourth quarter buyers. So it's not always the most recent. It's not always the most current. Seasonality comes into play again. Something to think about. And I've seen that happen over and over and over. Why is it important? Because you want to target to some extent. Now, this one rightly puts the offer second. I like that. That's where it belongs. A good offer won't overcome a bad list. So if you offer handicapped hunting supplies to upscale suburban women, you might not get much results. I'm not saying that there aren't upscale suburban women that buy hunting gear there's a lot of those disconnects, and they can be a lot closer than that. Sometimes an offer, though, will stand out even with a bad list. It's important to test lists and offers two-dimensionally when you configure your test matrix. If you don't know what that is, call somebody that's been in mail for more than a few minutes. Okay, this is what happened. When the internet started, there were people that knew nothing about marketing, knew nothing about design, knew nothing about offers and lists and all the rest of the stuff, And they built big companies that failed. Dot-com bubble. It's possible to do that. People, I saw a mail, direct mail, literally a chain letter Ponzi scheme today. I was going to play it for you. It was a lot of fun to watch. The guy was really a promoter. But it was literally a chain letter Ponzi scheme that involved mail. And offering it as a business opportunity. And, you know, this now mail is all of a sudden getting in the spotlight as a vehicle, as a marketing buzzword. It's hilarious to watch because I watched it happen with the internet. And, you know, don't sell mail. You got to sell carefully done direct marketing, a process of ongoing investigation and learning. Okay, creative, a great point. Can you make it personal? Should you make it personal is a better question. Then can you make it personal? Commingle. This was an interesting one because I have never seen it in like basics of direct mail. What it means is that you can get lower postage rates putting your offer in with other offers with other people who are mailing the same household and or the same zip code even. You can intermingle those and get there. You get better postal rates for saturating a zip code or saturating a postal carrier route. I'm not an expert in that. No, not even close. But I thought it was just interesting that it's mentioned. You can get really good postal rates for that, doing that. Okay, commingling combines direct mail pieces from different companies headed to shared zip codes and ships them together, like I said. And so basically, and are also often sorted in the order of that the delivery person walks their route or drives their route. And so they have basically a bundle that goes to, you know, most houses. Anyway, add a PS or a PSS, a postscript, sometimes is good if you're doing a business letter format. There was another one of these articles that I ran across that said postcards are the best offer, are the best format. Postcards are a good testing format. They're probably the worst format. Number 10, business envelope. If you want to look genuine, a catalog, if you've got a lot of products, are more cost effective on a per product basis or a cost per square inch basis. Depends on what you're doing. And format tests are fairly expensive. But if you're just getting started, postcards are a good way to start. Multiple ways to respond. Okay, give the reader multiple ways to respond. Response is an art in itself. I highly recommend, again, downloading Scientific Advertising at scientificadvertising.com. It's a free download. I actually popped the $10 for the video book that I converted to an audio book. You know, they've got all kinds of great resources out there. There's classic books in mail that will tell you which of these matter most. That's the trouble. You know, the trouble is that now that we're getting so many direct mail how-tos, you don't know who's writing them. You don't know what kind of experience they've got. So work with somebody that you know and you can trust and has made enough mistakes to know better. I'm John Miglosh. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Have a great day. Bye-bye.